And we are live. Ryan, thank you for joining the latest edition of the Zech Hub podcast to discuss the Zcash Foundation AV Club. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me. Yeah. This is a real privilege.
Yeah, no, of course. So I think kind of, you know, setting expectations for kind of today's conversation for everyone listening, you know, the Zcash Foundation AV Club is a recently new development. I think was launched within like the last, or publicly launched within the last couple of weeks. So a lot of people are going to want to learn more about that. But I think for a start, you know, some people might not know you in the Zcash community. I know you've been around for a little bit, but I kind of want to just talk about your background, you know, story into Zcash, maybe your story of getting into crypto as a whole, and kind of like how all this might tie in with like this founding of the Zcash Foundation AV Club. Is that like a good place to start?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a bit nervous because this is a story that I haven't really told publicly. So this is kind of a first. In order to just tell my roots in Zcash, it doesn't really make much sense to ignore my history in crypto, which started in 2011 when I received my first Bitcoin. Was actually Halloween of 2011. And that was a payment from a friend who ran a blog website called dailyanarchist.com. And he had asked me to do some hacker news type of guides, walkthroughs, and introductions into like encryption. So I had written a blog about full disk encryption and how to do it on Ubuntu and on Fedora. This would have been summer 2011, so whatever version of those were out there. And it wasn't really easy and straightforward. So I published this blog, and he paid me in Bitcoin. And then shortly after that, I got an email from Mihai Alisi, who's went on to be one of the founders of Ethereum. He was the founder of Bitcoin Magazine along with Vitalik. And he asked me if I wanted to write for Bitcoin Magazine. This was before the first issue was ever printed. It was kind of strange. It felt like a phishing email, like coming from Romania, and it's like, hey, I have this, I'm going to be making this website. Do you want to join us?
And yeah, especially back then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was winter 2011 going on 2012. And I am a web developer. And so at the time I immediately thought, okay, well, my real goal here, I can write blogs and things, but my real goal is to become the webmaster of Bitcoin Magazine. And I started doing that pretty quickly because they didn't have a web developer or webmaster to run this massive amount of content that they were putting out. So that was sort of my first steps into like crypto media as well. And this was meetings with Vitalik and Mihai back in 2012, 2013, and moving forward. So that's sort of where that started. At the same time, I was getting into live streaming, and live streaming tech was also very new at the time. So I was spending most of my time trying to convince people that Bitcoin was a good thing and convince people that live streaming was a good thing. It was rather difficult. And I actually tried to push live streaming into Bitcoin Magazine as an opportunity for them to live stream some of the early meetups and things that were happening. This happened at the exact same time that Vitalik started talking about Ethereum or thinking about Ethereum. And so when I started live streaming the San Francisco Bitcoin meetup, which is on my own personal channel, and I did that without funding and just out of my own pocket and doing my own research on how to do it even. At the same time, Mihai and Vitalik tapped me to make the first Ethereum websites. So the countdown to the pre-sale of Ethereum, that had my hands all over it. And that famous website that had like 15 founders of Ethereum, that was my doing to some extent.
Wow, that's awesome. And where from there? Like we're, I think 2015, 2016 at this point, like, how does this continue?
So that would have been the winter of 2014. Going into 2015 was when BTC Media bought Bitcoin Magazine. And at this point, Vitalik and Mihai are working fully on Ethereum and getting that all spun up for the Genesis block, which still wouldn't happen for, No, actually, this would have been 2013 to 2014 because the Genesis block didn't happen until the summer of 2015. So So I did a lot of work on the website for them. And again, this there was no payment for this yet because it was all based on like when the Genesis block launches and you get some of the pre-mined ETH at that point. So I couldn't afford to do that for too long and ended up shifting gears to really focus on the work I was doing with live streaming. And at that point, I was traveling around to different open source, decentralized, privacy-focused meetups and conferences and unconferences. And I noticed that there was no one recording or live streaming any of the content that was being talked about, these amazing revolutionary ideas, or I thought they were revolutionary. So I took my skills. I went to university for media arts, communication design. So I took some of the skills that I learned from studying documentary film and stuff I know about the web, and just kind of grabbed a camera and learned how to live stream in order to broadcast these meetups and things. And if you look at my channel, my YouTube channel, which is AgiLeak in the name there, you can find a lot of early talks and presentations about Bitcoin and about mesh networks and about end-to-end encryption. A lot of the topics that we talk about with Zcash as being like the core and the heart of all of it. So yeah, I was doing all of that out of my own pocket, much like how you started ZekHub. And that led me to Zcash, which when Zcash launched, I was a huge fan. And I had already done work with Zuko and Nathan as far as the live streams, some meetups and stuff. You can find them on my old channel as well. And so I ended up working for, at the time, the Zcash company. I started working as their web developer in, I guess it was the summer of 2016. So right during all of the ICO madness, I started working for Electric Coin Company. And by the time the first ZCon happened, ZCon Zero in Montreal, they needed someone to live stream it. So naturally, I was already in place to do that. It's a Zcash Foundation event. So at the time, there was no real grants program. There was still no funding for any of this live streaming stuff. It was based all on the tipping economy. So ZCon Zero was done in that way. And at that actual event in Montreal, that was where I saw the potential for asking for a grant. That at the time, it would have been from the Zcash Foundation. And so I had a conversation with the foundation and with Zuko, and kind of tried to work out how we could create a funding model for AV production of first of ZCon Zero and then ZCon One. So if you look at the Zcash grants platform, you'll see that I'm like, I think the third grant application on there. And that was also a UX experiment. So I gave a lot of the feedback back to the Zcash Foundation, and the current grants program, the process of applying takes into account a lot of the feedback that I have supplied to them. Things like posting on the forum and getting the community involved. The fact that it's denominated in USD, because it was incredibly volatile. I mean, you talk about coin volatility, and I've been working for cryptocurrency, making crypto, for crypto companies since 2012, I've seen the ups and downs. I've got heartbreaking stories that for me, I can smile and tell them, but I've watched people come to tears practically, you know. It's, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because like, I hate to interrupt, but I want to add, like, I think the big thing is like, there is this idea of wanting to create more economies that are like denominated in Zcash and Zek. But I think realistically, like where we're at in the current like market conditions and the current state of like various economies around the world, I think denominating in USD for grant payouts is probably the right decision. Because I understand that the volatility, if you're living off of it, can be really, really stressful. So kind of minimizing that as much as possible is probably a really good thing.
Yeah, and that's what that decision was really about, minimizing it, because giving people the opportunity to cash out when they're paid, and the fact that they're being paid in the amount that they were agreed to, was kind of the crux of that decision. So the first grant that I put out for ZCon 1, it was denominated in ZEC, and I believe I was asking for about 2,000 USD worth of ZEC in order to live stream the whole conference. And so that would have been 20 ZEC, I believe, when I was asking for it. And by the time the conference actually happened, it had changed so much that it wasn't worth nearly what I was looking for. Or maybe it was 4,000 out of 2,000. In any case, it was about half of what I was expecting to get paid out. And I've been working in crypto for so long that I know I can hold on to it, but also like I've been living off of it. A lot of the early Bitcoiners were actually having to spend their Bitcoin in order to maintain their lifestyle or in order to create this content that ended up leading to the successes of Bitcoin, aiding at least in the successes of Bitcoin. And it was all coming out of our own pockets and we have bills to pay. So that it's a matter of being able to cash out when you need to without losing too much, but also yep. being able to really say like, I support this. Look at my spending history, so to speak. You know, look at my battle scars.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And from that point, like, so you're at this situation where you're giving the grants committee feedback on like the various user experience things you just mentioned, including, you know, denominating grants in USD. How did you kind of lead up to this point of working on this, you know, Zcash Foundation AV Club or creating this, you know, media channel? What was the process of like from ZCon 0 to ZCon 1? And then getting involved at this point now, like what was that journey like?
So I was working for Electric Coin Company for that time as their web developer. And every ZCon, I would get closer to the Zcash Foundation, the folks that were working at the Zcash Foundation, doing the live streaming in the style that I do. I work very closely with the event organizers and with the community organizers. And this was no different with Zcash Foundation. So it at the time the grants committee didn't exist at ZCon 1, and then we went through iterations through leading up to the pandemic and lockdowns, and then ZCon 2 Lite was all online, and this sort of flexibility of event media production has kind of become a trademark of my career. So, you know, sometimes I show up at a venue and I don't know what kind of internet I have. So when the Zcash Foundation wanted to do an online ZCon in the midst of all of these remote conferences that were happening, and a lot of them are boring and just junk, they contacted me in hopes of doing something different, in hopes of bringing more people in from who are watching remotely, bringing sort of what I call the hallway track. What's been at conferences is often referred to as the hallway track or the lobby track. And that is the stuff that's not happening on stage. You know, that's usually I just live stream the stuff that's happening on stage. And when COVID happened, that's all that anyone was live streaming. And it's really, to me, the most boring part of any of this, of conferences, that is. So we attempted with ZCon 2 to bring more of the hallway track in, more of the conference environment in. I think we did a pretty good job there. And at this point, the grants committee was in place, or it was starting to spin up a little bit.
And you're back and we are recording. So, all right. Sorry for the technical glitch there. I'm just going to edit one thing. Okay, we're good to go. Sorry for the technical glitch there. We had some mishaps with the recording. I believe we left off we were just describing like the journey from, I think it was ZCon 2 up until the point of like finding the Zcash Foundation AV Club.
Yeah. So I've live streamed all of the ZCons and all of them with kind of a different payment model and a different level of involvement with the foundation directly. And while I'm working for ECC at the same time, I'm doing sort of AV tech support. I find myself doing a lot of AV support for the chief executive officer and other officers in ECC specifically, because everyone wants to look their best for this new online communication thing we're doing. And I found that a lot of people were like using their phones to live stream and stuff. So I sort of found myself in a position of being this go-to AV support for the foundational or the core Zcash organizations, being the Zcash Foundation and ECC. I have very friendly relationships with all of the people that make these organizations up. And I had actually gotten paid by all three of them in a way that I think very few people have. Which is to say that I feel like I have more hands-on experience with the funding of Zcash for non-development purposes, for things like AV production and media production. And back in September, this last September, I was trying to think of what my next step in Zcash is, what in this path that I've been on with crypto and with live streaming. I had stopped live streaming when the pandemic happened because we couldn't travel anymore. And that was kind of my main vehicle for my live streams. And I didn't want to do web development anymore. I got tired of making websites. So it occurred to me back in September, after a lot of conversations at ZCon kind of helped to feed into this, that I thought what it would be great is if there was some sort of organization that would have benefited me back in the San Francisco Bitcoin meetup days. Back when I started live streaming this stuff, like I needed resources, I needed information. I had to find all of this stuff myself and then finding funding. I'm also very much against web advertising. And so I always refuse to monetize my YouTube channel, put any kind of ads on there or anything. And I think that the Dev Fund is really an opportunity for an alternative to that. So what I would like to do with the AV Club and sort of the impetus of the decision to create it was to create a path for people who are starting out in this, who want to help create content, who want to live stream or publish like a magazine, like something like Bitcoin Magazine for Zcash Magazine, your podcasts, this sort of thing. I want to shine a light on the pathways towards funding and also on the skills that are required in order to do this sort of thing. What kind of equipment do you need? What kind of choices do people have if they want to contribute to a cryptocurrency project and they don't have programming skills or they have no interest in writing code or learning any of that? I've always thought that there's more than one way to mine a cryptocurrency, and working for the organizations that are doing stuff like this is another way to sort of to mine that cryptocurrency for yourself. The Dev Fund makes it a bit more literal than I ever had imagined. And I think that's great. I think it's pretty amazing.
You bring up a really interesting point in the fact that people have this like potential to earn crypto. And if they're earning crypto, that's like their way to kind of also get the benefits that miners might have, but also, you know, contribute to the broader sense of like the ecosystem and kind of furthering like the financial infrastructure that crypto is trying to build. And then you make it also a really good point that not everyone has the appetite to like learn how to code or, you know, learn how to program and kind of, you know, be more involved with like actual protocol development. Before we kind of go into more of like the Zcash Foundation AV Club specifically, you brought up something really interesting. You don't want to monetize your content specifically. Can like highlight why you think the Dev Fund is kind of this infrastructure that might positively replace the need for, you know, monetization or doing ads? And what are some of the risks that some people sometimes run with monetization and running ads or sponsorships on specific content models that they create?
Right. So I'm going to answer that in reverse because the reason that I never put ads, like Google Ads is the default. I usually use YouTube for my live streams. My YouTube channel's there. I have, because of the community that I'm live streaming and really my target audience has always been very weary of these big centralized silo corporate media distribution platforms. And I've been faced with this question a lot, and so not putting ads on my videos is one way that I can kind of protect my audience from a couple more prying eyes of Google, is kind of how I always saw it. Like we know that Google is already watching everything that they're doing with their browsers if they're on YouTube. But then there's also, if you put ads on the video, then you consider Google AdWords comes into play. And I just didn't want this extra layer of eyes on my audience. And then, of course, the monetization fight that ended up happening, the YouTube censorship that happened and potentially led to like Odyssey and other alternative homebrew solutions. A lot of those complaints were about being demonetized and not about being censored. And the the conversation was very much like, I'm being censored. This is all anti-free speech. But my channel was never touched by any of that. And I never even had to confront it because I didn't do the ads. On the other hand, I was working out of my pocket, and that $1,000 a month or whatever from ad revenue, if I could get those kind of viewer counts. You also have to remember that my content is super nerdy. Usually, like, it's a real small niche that's interested in this sort of thing back in the day, especially. So I didn't expect to get a bunch of money from the advertising anyway. I didn't see it as a viable model. I wanted to try the tipping economy, the tipping model. And I have my feedback on that is probably not very helpful because I've lost a bit of faith in that direction. Because people want to consume content for free. And I get that. I totally understand that. But the dev fund now, especially with the way that it's distributed now to the grants committee and to the foundation and to ECC, now there are three different organizations that all have needs for every kind of skill, and they'll pay for this if you know how to ask for it. And this is something that, because I've worked so closely with these different organizations, I feel I have a pretty good understanding of how that economy works and how we can properly ask not just the organizations, but the community as a whole for access to those funds. Something that your model with ZekHub has very closely represented, kind of the vision that I have, where people can come into the ecosystem, they can work with the AV club in order to build a portfolio, because it sounds like we're asking for free work to be done, but the AV club will actually be helping people to learn these skills, and then also to learn how to ask the community for grants and how to get involved in the economy as well as the ecosystem or the community as a whole.
Yeah, that's a super important point that you make, because so what ZekHub is trying to do with that type of model is we're requesting a grant to get funding to have this contributor bounty program.
Yeah, I know how it goes, man.
Yeah. So, we're talking about, ZekHub and kind of that model, right? Is we're going to create this bounty fund. So people who are kind of let's say someone comes into the Zcash community and they, are maybe from an adjacent crypto ecosystem and they want to contribute, right? Because Ethereum does this really well. There's so many independent structures within Ethereum, and you can go into these organizations and maybe earn a native token of a DAO, or go into this media channel and find a way to earn crypto while learning your chops. And this kind of really complements each other well, from what I'm hearing, is that you can come in, maybe translate a newsletter or write editions of the newsletter or do whatever for ZekHub, via the Wikipedia or social media content. And then you can also be a part of the Zcash Foundation AV Club and learn the more professional skills needed to create, better, more quality media, and then prepare yourself to potentially one day become an independent contributor to the Zcash ecosystem. This sounds like a really interesting model that's starting to form up, that's going to empower more individuals to become independent contributors rather than having to potentially go work at ECC or ZF. Is this the club's ultimate goal? We want to get as many non-technical non-coders contributing to Zcash, applying for grants and creating quality media, or is that just one of the goals? What is the outcomes that you think the ZF AV club's looking to accomplish here?
Yes, that is, that's definitely one of my goals, is that for the club to be this sort of network of content creators that already exist, platforms that already exist, like ZekHub, Zcash Media, the new Zcash podcast that's out there. I want to be a sort of promotion mechanism for all of these, as well as to kind of mind share on some of the problems that we have. You understand how microphones and cameras and podcast production works and some of the software connected to that. Whereas I've done a lot of work on the live streaming part and the network protocol side of things, how do you solve problems of live video production in a place you've never been before and you don't have no idea what to expect, or the basement of a Berlin bar or something like that. And so all of these, this information is all in our grasps. It's all in our networks. And I want to give us a place to come together and share it and also shine some light on that specifically for people who are coming in that that might have questions, because there's so much information spread out all around the internet. It's hard to find the thing that you're most interested in, the thing that's going to be most helpful to you. And plus there's the overarching value of privacy in that brings us into Zcash. And it's something that's very rarely talked about in media production. And I think that keeping a focus on that is going to help to kind of separate the AV Club from other media production entertainment courses, and I mean education courses and whatnot. So that information sharing is definitely a big part of it. And being able to empower and elevate newcomers into the ecosystem and being able to promote their content and get them funding and be able to contribute in a way that isn't writing code or doing educational content necessarily. Because this, we could be talking about code, we could be talking about, I mean, we could be talking about blockchain news stuff, we could be talking about promotional artwork, the posters, anything, anything artwork, art-like. So that's kind of the overarching sort of educational angle, and this information sharing angle is a big part of it. The getting people funding is a big part of it. There's also the Zcash Ambassador Program was a big inspiration for this that plays into my bigger vision, because I see that the Zcash ambassadors are being asked to document their work, and meetups is the most common, I think, ask of communities that we're making at the moment. And it's, I've experienced this. This goes back to my 2014 live streams of the San Francisco Bitcoin meetup. Organizing a meetup is not a one person job, and documenting a meetup is a whole separate person's job, possibly two or three people sometimes. So the actual act of making and publishing media of these events and of these communities, I believe it should be happening within the community, and the AV Club can help to facilitate that production via not just information sharing, but also resources. So in the perfect world, we would end up being able to get live stream kits to some of these Zcash ambassadors, so that then they can start producing content. And we then not only provide them with the information on how to do this stuff, but actually the resources so that they can do it.
That's like I'm just listening to this right now, and I'm just thinking, you know, in my head, like there's so many things that you mentioned there that I think are just going to enable people to like contribute to Zcash at like a really quality level. The one thing too is like, you know, maybe you don't want to do educational resources, right? So you have like what AutoTunaFish is doing at the foundation, and he's, you know, killing it with a lot of these new education resources coming out. People in the community do that. You have Zec Hub that's working on that as well. So maybe like you don't see as much of an opportunity with that. But something you just mentioned, like a news channel, someone was chatting with me in Discord, and they had this idea of like, what if we with Zec Hub shared like all of these different, you know, resources and information that's happening in the privacy ecosystem? And I was like, well, specifically with Zec Hub, that I don't know if that aligns with like the strategy of what we're trying to do, but that would be a great channel to like go out and like start on your own and potentially, you know, get funded one day or receive like the tipping mechanism if that's what that group of people prefers. Like, and by having the Zcash Foundation AV Club in place, like that person could go in, or that group of people could go in and kind of like brainstorm and do these different like meetups and events you're talking about, you know, having online within the community. And then they could get inspired to kind of have that, you know, that idea come into, I guess, practice and come into real life. So for me, like listening to this right now, I think it's like, you know, filling this gap that we have of like inspiring people to, you know, do things outside of the current infrastructure, like bring new ideas to the table. Tell me a little bit more about how you're planning on, you know, engaging with like different community members and, you know, people who are just interested in contributing to Zcash from like a non-technical perspective. Like, what's the plan of like, you know, if someone has like an idea for a news channel, or they want to do like illustrations or design, like how do they get involved with the AV Club, and like how do they come together and share these ideas?
Right. Okay, so actual practical application of how the club is really going to work. What we're talking about first, like we've got the Discord set up, and that's kind of just a central gathering place for people who are interested in the club. So I'm going to be watching the Zcash forum, and I watch all of the grant submissions that come through there. And I see a lot of them are right up the alley for someone who would benefit from the AV club, and someone who the AV club could benefit from as being them being a part of it. I have my own vision of what the AV club will be, but it's a club, right? It's like, it's about the other people, just like a network is about the other people. Zcash to me is about the people. It's not about Zach. It's about the technology of the network and the people in the network. And that's where I think the more people that we bring in, the stronger we can make Zcash, and we can all learn from each other. So the club will ideally take a turn that I can't foresee. And the way that will happen is by people coming into the Discord and people watching. We're going to be having once a month, we're going to be having AV club specific meetups, which I have a loose structure to, but I'm kind of envisioning this as sort of a year-long unconference. That the schedule will sort of be rough and fluid, and it might change based on the whims of the technology, as we've seen, the whims of the community. And if, for example, I do have a plan to do a meetup based entirely or talking entirely about AI-assisted art, I'm a big fan of Midjourney. I've had a lot of fun playing with it. And I think that an introduction into this technology and how we can use it would be incredibly helpful to people. And I think that, let's see. So, yeah, the whole thing is going to change, basically, is kind of what I'm getting at. I lost my thread.
Yeah, and kind of thinking about that, right? Like, people, you know, come into this central gathering place, and there's other channels, right? So like, I know there sometimes can be a resistance from some people sometimes, like, oh, you know, Discord is this platform, like, you know, I've seen that recently in like the forum threads. There's some conversations of like the value of Discord, but still most people in Zcash, that's kind of where congregation happens. That's where, you know, I'm in a lot of Zcash Discord groups, and that's where Zach Hub kind of congregates as well. And, you know, thinking about how people can come into this one channel and then, you know, have the structure to communicate, have the structure to be a part of this, but also have that ability to evolve to potentially something different, and having this loose structure that allows that, I think is really helpful. You know, so kind of like recapping this so far as we get, you know, into some more specific topics, like the purpose of the AV club is to, one, highlight all of the various media, you know, organizations that are working on Zcash, Zcash Media, Zach Hub, stuff from ECC, Zcon, etc., and the global ambassadors. So like anyone kind of working on this like non-technical, contributing to the education, or, you know, contributing to, you know, certain channels, whether they're news or, you know, you're doing design, a way for non-technical contributors to get more involved in Zcash and kind of sharing and amplifying all of those materials. And it's also a place where people, if they have an idea, they can come in and, you know, not necessarily take an official course per se, but receive education about the process of becoming a non-technical contributor, especially, you know, the person yourself leading it, who's been doing this for like the last, you know, 11, 12, 13 years. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I guess my next question kind of revolves on this more broader topic, because I think that, you know, there's this idea of, you know, the Dev Fund kind of really only funding three organizations, but then there's this potential to have more decentralization via the community grants program. There is the direct grant option in ZIP 1014. Mm-hmm. How do you think about, you know, this idea of enabling more contributors and more people to have more quality PR or more quality, you know, communications or media? And how do you think that aids in, one, decentralizing and taking away the responsibility from potentially ECC and ZF? I don't know if that's the right way to word it, but I'll just stick with that. And how do you think that potentially solves the broader PR problem that a lot of people associate with Zcash? Like, how do you think this club specifically, and I know PR is like a very specific angle, so I guess let's broaden this up to like, I guess, media in general. How do you think the AV club kind of, you know, enables people to, one, decentralize this work, take it away from, you know, people, you know, directly receiving funding via EC Series EF, and potentially, you know, could it be the solution to the PR problem?
Yeah.
Or a part of the solution.
Right. So, as far as the decentralization goes, and this kind of connects to the topic of there being too many Discord servers or too many different centers of Zcash or whatever, I did see that conversation happening recently. And my instant reaction is, could you imagine if in like 2012, all of the Bitcoiners were talking on like, they were all using the same Twitter account? Like, there's just no way that that would function or that it would be what it is. Like, the idea to me of decentralization is more, right? More options, more variety, more pathways that people can take into this technology and into their own lives and into their own career. So the idea of there just being one cryptocurrency is ridiculous to me. And the idea of there just being one cryptocurrency news outlet is also just ridiculous to me. And I think if we're going to decentralize, or we're going to be a decentralized community, then it's a community made up of other communities. And what I'm trying to do here, one of my friends, actually, when I explained my idea for the AV club, she kind of laughed and said, wait, so you're looking for a group of nerds inside of a group of nerds? Like, yes, that's exactly it. Like, I want the AV nerds that are already Zcash nerds that want to apply their skills to this thing. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I felt like I needed to make that's a spot really cool. for that. So that's where I came up with the Discord server, started that. We'll have a Matrix connection to that because there is a lot of complaints or inquisitions as far as why we use Google platforms and why we use, and why we stick with Discord and Zoom, for example. So I want the AV club to be a chance for us to experiment with these other technologies that align ideologically to some of the rest of us that are working on Zcash. And then, so that's kind of the decentralization part. I want to see as many people making as much media as they can about Zcash, telling their story. There was a question at ZCon 3 in Vegas about how we market Zcash. And I believe that Zcash needs to be enabled and empowered to market itself. And that is the Zcash community and the Zcash communities, rather, the multiple communities. And if we empower them to be able to tell their story and to market that, not even market Zcash at that point, but to be able to explain Zcash to people. And I think that this is really where the power of the Zcash community, which reminds me a lot of the early Bitcoin community, this is really where the power of that can be harnessed and bolstered. And then as far as the PR goes, I've never really been a fan of PR. I studied media and I worked in Hollywood and I've seen it's difficult to control. That's for sure. That's especially with social media.
You're totally right. It's the wrong word, but I think when I hear it, that's what people say. It's like Zcash is a PR problem. And I'm like, that's the wrong. I get it. Yeah, sorry for interrupting, but that's like totally the right way to frame it too.
Yeah, and but I'm also like, it brings up an interesting point and something that I have a different opinion on that I wouldn't call it a hot take because I've had it for a long time. It's more of a cold take that offends people sort of. And that is that wide adoption is not what we actually want. And we shouldn't be mass adoption. Sorry, mass adoption is not what we actually want and we shouldn't be pursuing it. I consider mass adoption to be cryptocurrency's Moby Dick. And I think that if we do actually catch it, it might be the end of us. And we shouldn't spend time trying to pursue that goal specifically. I think that, yeah, I'll leave it there.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because I was talking to someone once and we were talking about like this idea of like crypto mass adoption. And, their response was, why would you kind of gear towards mass adoption, especially in today's current market? Like go out in the real world and like go inter ask, like just go ask 200 people randomly if they use crypto, you might get 2 to 3 people that, or 4 people that say yes. If you're lucky, maybe 5 to 10. And this idea of like, let's first empower like our own ecosystems and the own use cases that we kind of want to see flourish before trying to extend those to other opportunities in the world. I think that also goes with like there are some really unique, Zcash use cases out there, but still to this day, is it the right, if my mom and I, I was on my parents' phone plan up until very recently. If I need to send my mom money, like is Zcash and Zek the right option and the right way to do that? And like the current infrastructure and the current, relationship and needs that my mom and I both have, like that probably like it isn't, because what she would do is she would immediately sell it for fiat, have to do that through an exchange and have to transfer from the exchange to the bank. And it kind of like defeats the whole purpose in my opinion, right? So I think what you're saying is like a really good point. And let's kind of focus on, what is the use cases and different things that we're not doing PR for, but we're just informing and producing media out to the various people. Because you're right, like I think marketing itself is a great way to look at it because Zcash is a technology. It can do certain things and it's really good at some things. Like let's just share those things. We can discuss potentially the future of it and what that looks like, but kind of marketing is this idea sometimes I think of trying to not tell the truth exactly. And I think it has that perception of like we're trying to not lie, but we're trying to create this perception of something that doesn't exist in order to advance, adoption or, sales or, views or whatever, right? And marketing can have that perception. So I think, you're right in the fact that it's not necessarily a PR or marketing problem. It's more of like, let's just enable individual contributors. Let's talk about that. Like, let's look at Bitcoin specifically because you came from that ecosystem. You worked within Ethereum. How do you kind of view Zcash potentially having, various media channels that might not even agree with each other, right? There are Bitcoin media channels and even bit companies building on Bitcoin that I think like absolutely hate each other. I've seen wars within Bitcoin, like there's wars that people are having over like certain technological ideas or whatever. So how do you kind of view Zcash potentially getting, and I think that's healthy, like getting to a place where there's going to be companies and organizations and media outlets that all disagree with each other and they're kind of the protocol remains neutral, but people are allowed to kind of do their own thing on it. How do you kind of view that idea? And how, do you think, what's kind of the time frame that you expect something like that to happen? Or does Zcash have that potential? Like, what are your thoughts on it becoming like that way in like the media front?
Zcash definitely has that potential. I think it's happening already, but it's happening in social media and on forums. One point that I really wanted to make with the AV Club, and we'll be talking about this at the first meetup next Thursday, is specifically this DIY approach to making media. And this is a sort of grassroots thing. Like it's this the story is not a story unless it's being told. And unless we're actually sharing these ideas that are being talked about in our groups and in our communities, then like we have to share these ideas, we have to make videos about it, we have to interact in meetups and in podcasts like we do here, and publish that media and get it out there in order for the conversation to move past this text bickering that happens, this sort of pseudo anonymous infighting. And Bitcoin definitely got there, and it's to no fault of its own probably, but I do remember when I remember multiple complaints on panels at events that I was live streaming of Bitcoin events that I was live streaming back in 2014, 2015. I remember a lot of comments about how they needed to shake this cyberpunk sort of crypto anarchist for sort of it's frustrating because it was really the people who were really promoting, the people who were really advocating for Bitcoin at the beginning were these crypto anarchists, were these cyberpunks. And then as soon as it started gaining traction, then you have people from finance start coming in, and suddenly Bitcoin is fintech and not freedom tech. And so the dialogue, the dichotomy of this dialogue sort of started for Bitcoin back then. And Zcash is still very much in the early stages, and the early first years of Zcash very much for me mirror what Bitcoin was doing. People lose track of that because of all of the other cryptocurrency hype that's been going on with other coins and other ecosystems. But if you look at the price charts for Zcash and Bitcoin, except for the very first day of Zcash, of course, we could just forget about that completely because that chart, it doesn't make any sense. But if you look at the first 6 years of the price, even there, Bitcoin didn't really do much. Like, it had the spike up to $35 in 2011, and then a few years later it went up to $1,000, and then dropped back down to like $36, and then it sort of sat there real low for a while. And so the market price is not really an indication of the health of the ecosystem to me. And on top of that, there's this issue of sort of the marketing PR side of it. And until we have enough voices and enough stories being told, then there's no chance for the dialogue to really happen. So that's kind of where I hope that the AV Club will enable those voices. And not only that, but inspire people to make this content themselves. Because like you and I know, it's you just got to do it, right? It's not a question of sitting around talking about it.
Yeah, and you have another thing, sidebar there, like to back that point up, you have to be comfortable with being wrong too, because you're likely, if you're trying to create content or create media to support Zcash, you're going to eventually be wrong about something. Like I've been wrong on 100 things, 1,000 things, a million things, right? So like, I mean, everyone's going to be wrong. So you just have, I think that's another thing people, some I've heard, you know, before the latest podcast from Digital Cash Network came in, like some of the responses to like the podcast RFI were, you know, I'm concerned about not being technically adept enough, and I'm concerned about, you know, getting some things wrong on a podcast form, right? And it's, I heard that a few times from various people who were interested in maybe doing it. And it's like, hey, like, I totally get that where you're coming from, but what if you just accepted that you're going to be wrong and like, it's all going to be okay. So yeah, sidebar there, just be comfortable with that. But this overall perception that you're talking about, right? So like originally Bitcoin had this is an interesting relationship, because now there's an argument in the forum, you know, about this like cypherpunk, freedom tech, is it fintech? You know, what is it exactly? And now you have this conversation in the forum about, you know, T-address FUD. So I've stated this publicly, I am anti-Tether in some ways. But I don't know if that necessarily means they should be deprecated, because you have Nighthawk on their roadmap. They want to integrate the Flexa SDK, which is, you know, a retail payment app that lets you use Zcash to buy things in real life. But to do that, you need T-address support, because Flexa supports T-addresses, and it's a big engineering lift from their end to support Z-addresses. So, right. So T-addresses are an easy way, because you can kind of mirror your Bitcoin integration and make some changes, and now you have Zcash integration, right? But there's this idea that, you know, in my opinion, you can have this ecosystem where you have the Flexa integrated Zcash shielded wallet, so you can use it peer-to-peer, or you can use it, you know, in a more mainstream way. And then someone else can just build like an Orchard-only wallet where the UI doesn't let you send to T-addresses, right? Because the Edge wallet, which is a Zcash supporting wallet, you can only do Z to Z from Sapling. So like, I think there's this idea, right? Like we're backing up your point, this whole ecosystem can thrive. Like you can have the privacy buffs, you know, anarchist types, you know, whatever on this side, and you can have the people just wanting a little more privacy than Bitcoin and using it for real world use cases, right? This whole ecosystem can kind of thrive. Are you, in your current view of like other crypto ecosystems, do you see that? Do you see like the ability for other, you know, differences in opinion and other uses of the application like to thrive? Or do you think that, each ecosystem eventually gets consumed by like one identity?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think like Zcash has multiple aspects that could attract people. I've seen Zcash applauded for its low fees, transaction fees, for example, during the SegWit battle of Bitcoin. That was, talk about a violent war. That was madness. And in the meantime, the transaction fees went through the roof, if you could even get your transaction to go through. And so onboarding a new Bitcoin user was a nightmare. And on top of that, trying to get a transaction to an old Bitcoin user was also difficult. I remember trying to send my dad some Bitcoin at that time, and it was like payment for a loan or something like that. And and we couldn't get it to go through. And I was like, screw it, you have Coinbase, let me just send you some Zcash then. And he was thinking about Zcash only as another currency. He didn't think about these technical properties, as in like lower transaction fees and faster block times. So there's the privacy part of it. There's the encryption part of it, which is super cool. And it feels awesome to do a Z2Z shielded, fully shielded transaction. And it feels awesome getting a new crypto user to install a wallet on their phone, like Y Wallet on their phone, and being able to send them a totally private cash transaction through the internet. That's actually the very last thing that I did of 2022, was getting a friend set up with his first crypto wallet. And the first thing I did of 2023 was send him some shielded Zec. So it's an awesome feeling. It's like, feels very spy and future, but that's not for everyone. There's also use cases where a T address still has benefits over Bitcoin. And the people who that benefits might have little interest in the privacy part. I find that most people have an interest in it, but then you start talking cypherpunk and crypto anarchy to them, and you lose them, you know, then they have no interest there. So we have these different aspects in Zcash. I find that the majority of the other cryptocurrencies are really flat as far as like area of interest. For most people, it's purely charts and markets. And I find that a lot of people I talked to earlier in this conversation, you mentioned that you can go out and you ask people to use cryptocurrency and you find 5 or 10 maybe. That's actually incredibly high numbers compared to like to the early days of Bitcoin, until Ethereum, until really 2016, 2017, when that first big boom happened with the ICOs. And now I find that if you go out and you talk to people at a bar, say you meet someone, this has happened to me, I meet someone, I start talking about the fact that I'm working in cryptocurrencies. They're like, oh, cool, did you see what Doge is doing? Did you see what this is doing? And they're showing me charts and you know, market prices and things. And they keep their money in the exchanges. So the idea of a cryptocurrency wallet hasn't even occurred to them yet. And this is fine. It's just that this is the one interest that I'm finding that a lot of people, and I would say the majority of people who have used cryptocurrencies, I find that it's really just exchanges. So this, the idea of privacy to them, it's not even a question, because they've already shown their identity to the exchange. They've already done their KYC.
Yeah, really good point. And like, also like, but how, like, I think the other thing there, like, let's piggyback off that, you know, what's the process, you know, people typically, like, that was my intro into crypto, 2016, mm-hmm. 2017. Like,
big influx of people.
Must have been around the
huge
ICO.
Audience. Yeah.
Yeah, I must have been then. It must have been then, because it started popping up. I remember friends would tell me about Ripple and like all this stuff. And mm-hmm. I don't remember any of it, right? Like, I just remember setting up Coinbase. I was in college, setting up Coinbase, buy Bitcoin. That was it. Like, that was my introduction. And it wasn't until, I think, a little bit later, maybe 2018, that I started actually like looking at it just from like an interest perspective and in a tech perspective. What was like my journey then, you know, was my own and very specific. I think, you know, I do have like political leanings that probably attracted me more once I learned about the tech and like decentralized finance and, you know, Bitcoin, you know, being a transaction, you know, methodology that doesn't require any intermediaries, like. But that's me. Like, how do you kind of view, you know, let's say Zcash gets to this place where you know, the AV Club and various, you know, different organizations or different, you know, media channels are really putting out a lot of quality content. People are kind of understanding Zcash's capabilities. And let's just say in the future, they're the same as today, you know, confidential shielded transactions, and then potentially public transactions with integrations into like third-party apps, right? Let's say that's the use cases. How do you kind of view like people getting off the exchange? What's the process of, you know, me having Zcash on an exchange? Let's say it pumps 80%. I made money. Cool. What's going to prompt someone to take their money off and use it peer to peer or use it like on Flexa or whatever? Like, what's that prompt there?
It's different for everyone. It's going to be different for anyone depending on the geography of where they are, their culture that they're in, and their subcultures as well. So, I'm not trying to dance around an answer. I just don't know, like, there is no one way path to this. And I do imagine that for the rest of my lifetime, at least, that there will always be people who are just interacting with exchanges. And that's really all that they care about. There's going to be speculation has been the killer use case for cryptocurrencies since Mt. Gox, and it will continue to be for some people, for a lot of people. The idea of a cryptocurrency wallet is still a pretty niche thing. I think that I'm actually curious if there's any way to, I know that we can't figure it out technically, but if there's any way to users in a accurate way to find out how many people have actually used a cryptocurrency wallet that isn't custodial, that isn't in an exchange, that if anyone who's done an actual transaction of copying a Zatter or scanning a QR code. In the early days of Bitcoin, I went around to a lot of different businesses, and my goal was to get a hostel eventually onboarded to accept to Bitcoin. And I did this in Prague. That kind of backfired a little bit because when I went back, they had complaints about some of the Bitcoin people. But I always wanted to onboard these merchants, and the idea of doing this sort of cash-like transaction in face to face in a brick and mortar store in a hostel where you travel across borders, you travel across currency borders where now you don't have the euro anymore in Czech Republic, then people have to exchange. But if you use Bitcoin everywhere you go or use Zcash everywhere you go, then that problem doesn't exist because you have your wallet on your phone that has your ZEC in it, and you can do the transaction that way. To me, that is the most amazing use case. It's buying a cup of coffee with cryptocurrency. It feels great. And I think that this is kind of this sort of futuristic sci-fi future of having some sort of like decentralized credits that you use instead of fiat currencies. That's really where I would like to see it go. I don't think that is for everyone, especially not now with the way that that Zec wallets are working. It's difficult for me to do Zcash transactions sometimes still. And like, for example, I was trying to sync my mobile wallet the other day, and I ran out of space on my phone because the Zcash blockchain is just too big since the birth date of the wallet. And it's not a problem that would stop me from introducing someone else to it and saying, hey, install a wallet on your phone so I can send you some ZEC, because giving away cryptocurrencies in that way, where you meet someone, they don't know what it is, and you're like, hey, here, I'll give you, I usually give people cash for the cup of coffee as well as if they're new to crypto, and I'll do the scan as well. But finding ways to get people to actually interact with the network in a way, because I don't consider these exchanges and custodial wallets, that's not interacting with the network, you're interacting with a website, which people do that every day. And that has been the goal of a lot of projects, is to obfuscate the actual tech that's happening and the real interaction with the cryptocurrency network. So I think that's fine. I think it's good. It's for onboarding new users, it's great. But my interest is really in in getting people to interact directly with it in interesting and new ways as well. Like a cryptocurrency transaction, a blockchain transaction is a lot more than just a transaction, a monetary transaction. To me, it can be a lot more than that. And a lot of people don't even realize that. So I'd like to hear some more stories about people doing this. And in fact, this could be an interesting topic for an AV club meetup in the future, to be able to get people to come on board and to tell their stories of interesting cryptocurrency transactions that they've done, as opposed to just the typical exchange type thing.
Yeah, that's a really good topic, because I think it also opens up the idea of, like, if people bring those examples, you can find new ways to kind of onboard people into crypto. I owe some friends some money, so I'm like, hey, I can send it to you in crypto, and you know, in this specific example, it's probably going to be Bitcoin, and he was like, cool, and I was like, I'm not going to do it unless you download a wallet. I'm not sending it to an exchange.
Yeah.
And he was like, why? He was like, why? I was like, well, I don't typically use exchanges very much anymore, various reasons. I use them sometimes, but for the most part, don't really use them anymore. And it's like, I don't like, you know, I want to introduce you to the power of actually doing this and kind of show you how it works in the process. And also, I also wanted to show them the privacy implications of, like, hey, if you don't do this with your Bitcoin wallet and you actually, you know, download this one day, like, this is the privacy implication of me sending you Bitcoin to this address. Like, this is how you can get a new address, or this is how you can potentially do a coin join, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So those are, like, really interesting things. But, like, you're saying, like, onboarding people into use cases like buying a cup of coffee or very, like, you know, kind of just everyday interactions. How do you feel about, you know, you mentioned geographies too. What's this idea of, like, you know, different geos have different use cases? How do you plan on, like, the AV club potentially enabling, you know, different geos to do different things that, you know, let's say, like, specifically in X country, that in-person meetups might not be the best thing, or they're not accessible to many people because getting from city to city is really difficult, right? But these people have, like, a common language, they have ability to connect with each other digitally. But then you have this other location, this other geo that's, like, very, very, you know, emphasized, or they very much want to do, like, in-person over digital. Like, how do you plan on kind of enabling these different use cases, just from the media perspective, which eventually would likely onboard people into crypto, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. It will onboard people. I can say that for a fact, because this is exactly what I was trying to do with my early Bitcoin live meetup live streams. Was I never cared about viewer counts. I always cared about the one or two, the typical story, the anecdote that I would use is, I care about that kid in Canada who can't go to Prague in order to attend the Paralleling Polis, for example. And I want to bring this event that has all of these diehard techno crypto anarchist people, and that are really the Bitcoin developers, the Zcash developers. I want to bring their ideas to the next generation of developers or of media creators who can't go. And so on a smaller scale, even this could work in a town where, like you say, they might not be safe for them to get together. And so organizing a remote meetup, something like what we're doing here, something like what we'll be doing in the AV Club Discord meetups, is to be able to supply them with the information that they need in order to safely have their own meetups online. And I would not recommend using Discord for that. I would not recommend using Zoom for that. But the AV Club will hopefully create a venue where we can explore some of the more private options, things like Jitsi and the live peer and stuff, where we can actually people can safely meet and understand the privacy vulnerabilities, the security vulnerabilities of that sort of meeting. So it's really two-sided. Like, there's this enabling people to broadcast the live events that are happening and the live gatherings that are happening, and how do we facilitate the remote attendees of these events to be able to get them access to the event or feel like they have access to the event more than just watching a video on YouTube, more than just streaming the thing. Like, where do we create the spaces for them to talk and to be a part of the conversation? And then at the same time, how do we do remote meetups where an in-person thing's not possible? And the whole time that we're doing all of this, we want to make sure that we're recording and publishing and promoting all of this content. So the club is going to really play a part in all of this, because cross promotion is also going to be a part of it, connecting people in that have language in common, connecting them to each other so that then they can continue to grow their own thing. And I would love to see like sort of chapters of the AV club pop up all around. Wherever there's a Zcash community, I want to see an AV club sort of tangent there as well. So not so that we have our fingers and everything, not so that we're like trying to control it. And in one of these, like there seems to be a lot of conspiracies that ECC and the Zcash Foundation are this are sort of the central controlling power of all of this. And it's not that angle at all. That would never even occur to me. Like, the idea is that I want people to have access to the resources of these organizations, of the Zcash blockchain, and in that sense, have access to zero knowledge proofs, and I have access to private, secure financial transactions and anything else that that might enable. And so the club is really a way to bring people into this, get them access to these resources, to get them access to my personal resources and the community resources as a whole, and to connect them to each other and see if we can grow something organically from that.
Yeah, I think that's a really awesome vision. And I, for one, am super excited to, you know, be a part of this and, you know, be in the meetups and kind of share my journeys and kind of the way I, because I think it's useful perspective as well. For me personally, like, I work at ECC, so I can also see both sides of the coins. Like, I've done an independent project that is going to be run by community members now and a community organization. And I've also worked for the ECC and worked for the ECC in the marketing team there. So like, trying to kind of, you know, share both perspectives is something I'm really looking forward to, and kind of sharing how things work. And because I don't think people realize how things actually work. Like, I think you have this perception of how things work internally, maybe ECC or ZF or a grant recipient or whatever. And it's very usually not the case. And I'm not saying that is a bad or good thing. It's just kind of the way perceptions can be off sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really cool to hear everyone's perspectives. I don't really know how grant global ambassadors are like managing their time and doing things. And I want to learn more about how they're doing stuff so that can better enable me to help them, you know, and help them be successful. So I think I'm really excited for it. I think this conversation kind of dove into a lot of topics, but it kind of had the one recurring theme that this club is here to encourage cross-channel collaboration, cross-channel promotion of Zcash media materials, and also enable people to potentially start their own, you know, media or non-technical, non-coding endeavor within the Zcash community. You know, to kind of to close things out, I always like to ask people, is there something that, you know, that you wanted me to ask you that I didn't ask?
I don't think so. I think you covered it pretty well. And I'm stoked that you're excited about this as well. We'll have the next meetup is going to be next, or the first meetup is going to be on Thursday. And we'll be talking about the past and present and future of Zcash audiovisual media. And specifically, we'll be talking more in depth about some of the live stream production from Zcons, which was all done, as I explained, it was all formulated just by my ideas and the ideas of the Zcash Foundation and the sort of growing grants program at the time. And I want to talk with you more about your history with ZecHub and how you built that up in a way that was then able to apply for a sustainable grant that will help create some jobs for some folks that really want to do something. They really want to contribute to Zcash, and they know how they want to do it. They just need a little bit of enabling, and it's an enabling power that didn't exist 2 years ago. You know, the grants committee is so new. And I think that it's awesome that you're right there at the cutting edge of it, and you're that you've gone this path that you've taken. It's very much parallel to I think to my history of doing all of this as well. And so in this first meetup, I really want to talk more about that specifically and sort of the DIY grassroots media that's been produced for Zcash in the first 6 years and where we're going from there. Free to Z is also really interesting. So we'll be talking about Free to Z and Free to Z Live. And leading into the second meetup that I have planned for February is going to cover the Zcash economy. And that is not to talk about the Zec prices or markets or anything, but specifically the funding part of the mission of the AV Club. How can we, what funding options are available to people in this ecosystem? How can they get to it? And I want to have some of the grants committee on there, and I want to have the ambassadors on there, and I want to get the Zcash Foundation talking about the trademark. So kind of really shine some light on how someone can get involved and where they can start. And then from there, we'll be moving into, I want to do a special meetup on content translation before Zcon Voices, before the Brazil event, so that people understand what tools to use for content translation and how to do that. And we'll be talking with Zcash Brazil and with Zcash Espanol on that one and get their input. And at that point, we'll be doing two meetups per month. And I don't know if we're going to keep going at that rate, but there are a ton of other ideas for meetups that we can produce. Things like the protocol development calls that happen, the arborist calls, the gardening call. I'd like to bring something like the Zeal call back. I was also very, very much involved at the beginning of those because I was working for ECC at the time. And so this idea of having regular community calls for niche communities kind of goes back to there as well. And I want to see more of that happening. And I want the AV Club to really help promote that sort of thing. And finally, the one thing that I'm super excited about, because I do want to see all sorts of different kinds of media being produced. And one of my favorite formats that I've done and something I've been trying to get in more cryptocurrency media is sort of a pre-show talk show type format for Zcon. And this is something that I'm hoping that you might help me with at Zcon 4 in Barcelona.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Is to get a couch set up, and you and I have the connections to the people who are going to be speaking. And so to get the speakers and to get some other AV Club folks involved to help us put together and produce a real nice show and do a live stream of what to expect from Zcon 4 in Barcelona. And even throughout, we could do a closing show, but I don't know. My experience with the closing of Zcons is usually not in front of a camera. So, but these are the kinds of things that I really am looking forward to producing and to collaborating on. So I was never able to do it by myself. This is all like pipe dreams, you know. And the AV Club is really the. My personal goal of the AV Club is to find friends and to find people to work with in this, because I get asked if I can't go to a Zcon, like I won't be able to go to Brazil for visa reasons. And so like, if I can't go, who do we have live stream these things? Who do we work with on this? And one of my personal goals with the AV Club was to reach out and find people who know how to do this or have interest in learning how to do it. And enabling them to be able to have my back and to collaborate with them.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because I think like, and that term of like finding friends, right? It's like, it's also, yeah, it's like completely just finding people that you can vibe with, that you enjoy working with, and that you can trust. Because in the end product of that relationship is going to be like, it's going to be better. Like if you're working with people that you enjoy working with and that you trust, etc. So completely agree. And I'm really excited. This conversation made me even more excited. So I'm hoping as people kind of listen to this and listen all the way through this, that they get a better sense of the goal for the AV Club. And yeah, I'm super stoked. And yeah, just want to thank you so much for your time today. And yeah, looking forward to the first meetup, and it's next week. So where can people follow everything? And you know, where's the Discord? You know, where's all the information that this lives? So people can be at the next meetup that I believe is next week, 1800 UTC.
Yes. So the first meetup will be next Thursday. That's January 26th at 1800 UTC. We will be having the actual meetup in Discord. I've set up an event in Discord. You can find that invite. It's on the Zcash forums. It's on the Zcash Foundation blog. You can find links to all of our assets. There's a free to Z page. We're on Mastodon at ZFAVClub at Zeal Center, zeal.center. Also on Twitter. I know a lot of people still use Twitter. I'm going to be using it a lot too, although I don't know if anyone ever sees my tweets because I never see anyone else's tweets. So I'm not sure how that algorithm's working. It seems to be kind of a theme right now. But yeah.
They need to get that fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. So the links are out there. Find the way to join the Discord. Join us there. If you don't want to join Discord or if you can't use Discord, then we'll also be live streaming to Free to Z Live. And I'll have that link set up on the profile within the next couple of days. And finally, we'll upload it to, for now, it's probably just YouTube, but after the fact, we will publish it. And then we'll be working on other Web3 infrastructure is another topic of a future meetup. And I look forward to talking with people about another topic that's very dear and close to my heart. And that's the distributed file, distributed media publishing options that exist. Things like LBRY and the open index protocol and things like that. So a lot of good stuff to look forward to.
Okay.
And awesome. Come into Discord or just watch on Twitter and Mastodon.
All right. Awesome. Sweet. And yeah, all of that information, we'll post it in the show notes so people can access all of these different channels and go to the one that's best suited for their needs. Ryan, thank you so much for the time today. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the AV Club meetup next Thursday. And yeah, looking forward to this in general. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ian. That was a real pleasure talking with you and an honor. Looking forward to this as well.